Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
We are in the month of May. Trade show season is wrapping up, and I am not recording today's intro on a cross-border bus into Hong Kong for once. Though I can't get escape, I am going to Hong Kong tomorrow for a couple of days. So it's just a little bit of a delay with the Labor Day holiday here in China. I don't even know if there's a holiday in America anymore. And WeChat, most of you guys are know about this Chinese chat app. People have been using it like crazy the last couple of months and years. And I figured we have some mastermind groups on it. So we're doing calls, group calls of 6 to 9 people to help each other with accountability and business growth. If you want to get in on the action, you can add my personal WeChat account. It's my last name, Michelini, M-I-C-H-E-L-I-N-I. Or check out globalfromasia.com/WeChat, W-E-C-H-A-T, for more info if you want to get in on these mastermind WeChat calls. All right, and now for this week's show, it's going to be a special one. We have Greg Mercer, CEO of Jungle Scout, giving us some tips and tricks on finding the right product to sell on Amazon with a special focus around Chinese suppliers. So he references quite a few great guides online. And as always, you can find notes and links of today's show at globalfromasia.com/episode124. Amazing. We're at 124 shows now. He's dropping lots of value, and get your pens and paper out. So let's get in. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to a Global from Asia podcast. We have a cool guest for us today, Greg Mercer from Jungle Scout. Thank you for coming on the show, Greg.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on, Michael. I'm excited to be here. I think we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's cool. We got to quickly meet at the Smart China Sourcing Summit, where we were both sharing some of our strategies and stories. So it was cool to connect there. And, you know, Peter, I was like, Peter Zaff, he's been on the show too. And he's really doing a great job, like keeping global sources in the game and always innovating with those events and getting onto the Amazon, you know, trend that's really blowing up, right? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, yeah, it was great to meet you there too. There's so many people that I only know through, they're just my internet friends, you know?
Exactly.
It was cool to meet you in real life. And I totally agree. Peter's done a great job kind of really bringing global sources on the map for a lot of people, because like a lot of Amazon sellers, you know, if you would ask them a few years ago, just know about Alibaba, when in reality, like global sources is just as good or a better resource of finding suppliers. So, yeah, it was awesome to go there and to meet you and everything else.
Yep. So yeah, today we're going to kind of give a little bit of an extension of maybe what you shared there and what you do and your expertise on. I think it's always a stumbling block for new Amazon sellers or just e-commerce sellers in general, right? Is what product do they sell? I think that's like probably always a top question that people ask, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And I think it's definitely most beginners' biggest pain point, or to be honest, we experienced sellers as well. I think it's probably because like the product selection phase is so critical to your success. You know, like if you pick like a terrible product that either doesn't have any demand or too much competition, it's just really hard to do well with it. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's a lot of people's number one question, right? What do I sell?
Exactly. So we're going to try to make it China or Asia related. So, you know, where the trade show season is just wrapping up, I think, when we put this show on, and people are probably still overloaded with, I think they still have these paper catalogs they're giving out at these trade shows and business cards and name badge scans or photos. And so, you know, I think we'll maybe talk a little bit about the trade show style offline and, of course, online. But I think it's always good before you come to China or Asia to do your research, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I guess just to start, me personally, I'm only selling on Amazon, so that's kind of my focus. You know, the kind of the methods we talk about today may be a little different if you're selling on your own e-commerce stores or what have you. But, you know, I know a lot of people are interested in getting to Amazon right now, so I think we can provide a lot of value there.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Sure. So maybe let's do first step. So
Okay.
Is there something different that should be done for China? Or I mean, is there something like, I guess, normally when people ask me when they should buy from China, I guess it's about the numbers, right? The MOQs and the shipping costs and versus like buying domestically from like a US wholesaler. So maybe first we just start off like, what's the logic somebody should think about from deciding even to go to Asia or China?
Yeah, good question. So if we actually back up for 1 second, when I actually started, it's about like 3.5 years ago now, I was actually originally selling on Amazon products I was sourcing from wholesalers and I was reselling them on Amazon. And we just touched on that real quick. You know, the advantages of that are that it's a little bit easier to get going. There's already listings set up on Amazon, which is a plus. And the MOQ is usually a little bit smaller with the wholesalers and so forth. The huge downsides and why I got away from that is because the margins for products you get from wholesalers on Amazon are extremely thin. There's practically no money left to be made on there with these wholesale products. Also, it was pretty difficult to establish new relationships with these wholesalers. Like if you go to like Black & Decker and say, like, you know, hey, I'm Greg, you know, I sell a few products on Amazon. Like, can I open up an account with you? They're like, dude, get lost.
Yeah.
So, you know, they want bigger sellers or people who are selling on channels that they're not already on so they can capture more market share and so forth. So after a little while, I got away from that and I got towards, you know, in the Amazon world, everyone calls like the private label space. And the idea there is, you know, we're ordering these products from China. We're putting our brand name, so our private label or our white label on it, and then reselling on Amazon. And that solves a lot of those problems that I was having before, you know, because like most of the factories in Chinese are happy to work with sellers. You know, they don't really care if you're selling on Amazon or your own e-commerce store or what have you. The margins can be better because instead of selling on the same listing with like the same SKU as a whole bunch of other sellers, since it's your own private label product, you'll be the only one selling that item on Amazon. So you're not, we call it like competing for the buy box, which just means you're the seller who gets the sale when someone just clicks the buy now button on Amazon. There's tons of advantages doing the private label route. And I think that's why it's become real popular recently. And China's the place to get those goods.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I've been out here too long, so I kind of even forgot how America, you know, like the wholesalers work. But yeah, like Chinese will just, they'll take anybody's money.
I think, right? Yeah, exactly.
They are getting a little bit more selective, I think, right? Like we were in the summit and other I've blogs been reading, you know, you still got to be a little bit kind of professional and, you know, loyal, I don't know if that's the right word, but looks at least serious to these suppliers nowadays. I think they're getting flooded with emails from these directories like Global Sources and Alibaba. And
right.
I've seen some of their inboxes on the other side and they're like flooded with them. So I think, yeah, I mean, it's also probably good to have some, I know there's some templates out there people could probably find on courses or blogs to use. And when you're reaching out, I think you guys have a good one on your blog too. Maybe we can add that to look professional.
Yeah.
When you're reaching out to these suppliers.
Right. Yeah. It's always good to look professional and, you know, look serious, like you're taking it seriously, but yeah, it's still nothing like trying to establish relationships with these US-based like wholesalers. You know, they want like your tax ID number and they might want to send a sales rep out to like your store and meet with you and that kind of thing. Whereas,
wow,
you know, that's a lot different than ordering from the Chinese factories.
Great. So there's still this, you know, this overwhelm, you know, I know everybody's always trying to figure out which product. So let me try to think how to phrase this question, but of course, there's two sides. You got to see what's doing well on the Amazon side for, you know, what's selling already pretty well. And then you also got to kind of try to filter on the China supplier side, filter the suppliers to the right ones. So do you want to break these into two pieces and go?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
So we can start with just, you know, like what kind of product should I look for, right? If I, you know, I'm interested in selling on Amazon, I want to source it from China, like where do I begin? And what I've found works really well, it works well for me. I have a bunch of products on Amazon. You know, I'm heavily involved in the space, so I'm pretty in tune with what's working, what's not. And what I recommend is choosing products that there's already an existing demand on Amazon for. So what I'm not talking about is creating a brand new product or a brand new invention and putting it up on Amazon when you're not sure whether people are actually looking for that item or not. So instead, I like to look for, you know, existing demand. Like people are already going to Amazon.com or whatever marketplace and they're typing in the search bar, you know, yoga mat or water bottle or whatever. And they're already looking for that product. We're not trying to create a new market, right? So I think that's really important. You know, there's nothing wrong with coming up with a brand new invention if, you know, that's what you're after, but that's like a whole different ballgame than what I'm talking about here. I think that's like a lot more risky. You know, instead, I'm just talking about kind of, we can look at the actual numbers and say like, okay, you know, we already know there's existing demand for this. So besides that, I like to look for something that's not very competitive on Amazon. And how I do that is I look for the number of reviews on the products. And that's a great indicator of how competitive a certain type of product or a certain type of niche is. Because really mature competitive niches, the products will say have like 500, 800, 1,000 reviews on them. So these are really like mature niches that are difficult to break into if you're a brand new seller. So instead, you know, I like to look for the ones, if I were to make a search on Amazon, like for water bottle, I like to look to see like the top 10 listings that there's multiple listings on there that say have under like 50 reviews. So that would mean it's a pretty like young and not very competitive niche. And just some other like little things to look for. You know, I prefer a little bit higher priced items. So let's say like over $20, that just leaves a little more room for margin. If it's smaller and lighter weight, it is going to essentially just make your life a little bit easier. The FBA fees are going to be cheaper. You can ship your first shipment via air if you'd like to get it into Amazon a little bit quicker and so forth. So those are some of the things that I look for in a brand new product or a brand new product idea.
Oh, it's definitely great. And is there a way to maybe decide, I guess, deciding about China, you should maybe always consider China now, you think? Or maybe is there, I guess you can get a smaller run here or what would you, you know, testing the market?
Yeah, good question. So I've actually found that, so it's amazing how powerful the Amazon marketplace is. Like there's, if you find something that kind of meets all this criteria, there's a lot of volume that goes through it. So it's fairly easy to sell, you know, 300 or 500 units in like a relatively short amount of time. So I've never really found like the MLQ thing to be that big of a problem for me. You can usually find a supplier that will make you a run of 300 or 500 units, especially if you say, you know, like this is our first test order to establish a relationship with you. You know, we're trying to test quality and just working with you and so forth. And a lot of times that's completely true. So you're not even making that up. So yeah, my go-to place is always factories in China to make these items.
Great. So then you basically would probably make a list of maybe top 10. Do you just pick one at a time, try a few, throw things at the wall or?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, of course, Jungle Scout's a product research tool that can help you with a lot of this, but I don't want to like sit through this podcast and try to sell your listeners on it. So we can talk about some of the completely free ways you can come up with product ideas and kind of like test the demand and stuff, or determine demand. So one good way to come up with product ideas would be if you just Google search like Amazon bestsellers, the top result there will be the items, you know, it'll take you to Amazon's website and it'll show you all the items that are selling well in each particular category and subcategory. So that's a really good place to come up with product ideas. And what you can do is when you go to that site, you'll see what I'm talking about. But on the left-hand side, there are the categories and the subcategories listed there. So if you drill down into like the first subcategory and then a second like subcategory of that, then you'd say, you know, like maybe we'd start with kitchen, then we'd get into cutlery, then we'd specifically get into like chef knives. So we're in like the third subcategory. And there you'll start finding a lot of product ideas that could potentially be, you know, good for you to sell. Once you've come up with that product idea, so, you know, we can make a whole list. Maybe I have chef knives, I have purple plastic lamps and water bottles. Then if you were to make that search on Amazon, you could then click on each of those items. And on inside of those items, Amazon lists all those products with a bestsellers rank. And all this is they've ranked every product in each category, how well it sells on their store. So number one is going to be the best-selling item in that category on their whole store. You know, number 100 would be the 100th best selling item in that category. And then what you can do is there's some general rule of thumbs you can use with those best seller ranks. Or if you go to junglescout.com/estimator, we have a totally free tool there that anyone can use. You can plug in that bestseller's rank. So if the bestseller's rank's 100, you can plug that in and it'll give you an approximation of how many units that item would sell each month.
Wow, this is amazing. Thanks, Greg.
did you follow all that?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, cool.
I try my best to keep up. You're really loading this with value. It's really appreciated. And I guess probably just pick one, right? Pick one product to start, especially if they're a new seller, do you think? Or because there's different suppliers on the supply side, or stick within one category, maybe one.
Yeah, it's a good question. So if I was just getting started, I'd probably just do one item to get going. You know, that way you can kind of see how the whole process works. The process is pretty simple and straightforward, but you will learn a lot on your first one. So I'd probably just start with one product. You know, you could start with, say, 300 or 500 units. Find a factory, you know, in China to make some of those. And then from there, you can either mail it to your house or even mail it directly into Amazon to sell through there.
Yep. Yeah, of course, the FBA, and it seems like everybody's totally leveraging the I guess there's also advantages in the ranking algorithm for Amazon if you use their fulfillment.
Yep, I believe that's correct. You'll find it sells better. So I guess any listeners who don't know what it is, most people probably do, but FBA is fulfillment by Amazon, and it was like the best invention ever. You can just mail your product, like, you know, 500 water bottles into Amazon. They'll store them in their distribution centers, and then when they make a sale on their website, they'll pick, pack, and ship the item for you. So, you know, no longer do we have to have our own warehouses or out in our garage packing these items. Amazon just takes care of all the grunt work for us.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I wonder what happened to there was a lot of these third-party fulfillments. I've talked to some of them, but they must be hurting because of this. Because, it's basically like this. It's like the synonym now, like fulfillment is FBA, right? But it's definitely... They've definitely taken over that market, it seems. I saw some of the others I had used back in the day, and they're like merging and reorganizing, and it's got to be a challenge to try to compete with Amazon. So I think they're even going to become a logistics company next, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. But it'd be so hard to compete with them because they have like the best network of distribution centers. You know, a lot of these customers are already, you know, on their site purchasing through them. And I mean, there's like 100 million people or something with a Prime subscription now. So, you know, everyone gets like free 2-day shipping or better, even same day shipping for some people. So it's really cool.
Definitely. And then I guess drones will be dropping them in your porch.
That's what they say. So, yeah. Then how are you going to compete with that, right? Once the drones are delivering your packages for you.
Yeah, man, those shipping guys are, I don't know what they're going to be doing next, but we'll worry about them on later. Maybe they'll be Amazon sellers or something.
There you go.
Cool. Let's switch it on the other side. So they picked a couple, maybe found that one magic item, or maybe they have a short list of a few, and then they pop on over to some online directories, probably like Global Sources, Alibaba, search in those product names. Some people even say the pictures are the same, like on Alibaba and like Amazon. And there's, you know, like we can link to, I remember you guys had a good blog post recently about talking to some suppliers and strategies, maybe not looking like maybe you're not the CEO, president, maybe you're like, even though you might be the guy, if you're like in the basement of your parents' house or something, maybe you say you're like the purchasing manager or something. I mean, it was a blog post I read you guys had. I guess that's, you know, on the Amazon side, there's tons of products. And then the China supplier, there's like a list of all these factories. So I'm not sure if that's your, you know, you've been doing it yourself, and I'm not sure if that's your expertise, but what, you know, I know people are overwhelmed. They found the product that they want to sell, then they see like thousands of suppliers to choose from. So I don't know what your thoughts are there.
Yeah, so I can give a few little tips that I use, you know, that have worked well for me. And like you said, I'm certainly not an expert in this, but you know, I have like a few dozen products now, so I guess I've done it a few times. Generally, what I'll do when I find a product, let's say I want to sell garlic presses, you know, so I'll go to one of the directories like Alibaba or Global Sources. I'll search garlic presses, and you know, you can filter by some of the suppliers that are supposed to be a little better, like Gold Star or whatever else. That may or may not even really matter, but I guess it doesn't hurt. From there, I'll have a like pre-typed out template of what I'm going to send to them to ask them. So essentially, like, I'm just trying to establish a relationship with them. Maybe right away, I will give them an idea of what kind of quantity I'm looking for, any details about the item, if I want to make any modifications to the items. So for instance, maybe instead of in yellow, I want it in pink, or any other, you know, modifications you may have. You can ask them right off the bat, you know, if they'll private label it or how that works, and so forth. And to start, you're just trying to establish a relationship with them. I usually will ask them for the price in that email, but I don't start, you know, negotiating with them right away, because more important than price right off the bat is just to see like if they're a good factory, if they're easy to communicate with, and so forth. And then what you'll find is a lot of these people won't respond to you. And as you alluded to earlier in the recording, it may just be because they're getting just so swamped from all these people. I don't know. But, you know, a lot of the people that don't respond to you may be the factories that are only looking for orders of like 10,000 or like multiple containers, you know? So it's probably a good thing they just don't respond to you right off the bat, because that way, you know, you're more working with factories that are interested in working with you, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and yeah, the little thing you said earlier is a good little tip. You know, a lot of times instead of saying like CEO, especially if you're just a beginner, you can say you're the purchasing agent or something. I do that for a few reasons. One is like, if you ever say anything like pretty amateur, it's all right to just say like, oh, okay, like I'm still learning. Another reason is, and this is the main reason I do it, is a lot of times, you know, after a while, you're trying to establish a really good relationship with the person that you're dealing with, you know, like the sales rep. So a lot of times I'll say like, hey, like I love working with you. You've been great to work with. The factory is awesome. But my boss, you know, he really wants me to be looking for this price. You know, can you work with me on that? Or, you know, like my boss keeps pestering me about getting the tracking information from you. Like, I know I've asked you a couple of times, but can you get that? You know, so it just kind of, I guess, helps you save the relationship with your sales agent or sales rep if you're being kind of annoying.
Yeah, exactly. I like that strategy. And it's a good one. So I guess then, yeah, this is where I think some people get impatient, is the sample ordering, especially, you know, if they're sitting at home in America waiting for DHL and paying like, you know, shipping is not that cheap for courier. It's probably like 30 to 50 or more. It depends on how fast you need it and how big the product is. But yeah, like you think an order in a bunch of different samples from a bunch of them, or at what point maybe, or how many do you kind of shortlist, do you think?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, you know, so my initial email, the one I talked about, I said like I have a template that might go out to like 20 suppliers. Of those, maybe like 10 will respond. And then usually right off the bat, you can find a few favorites or rule out some bad ones. Maybe it's because their communication skills aren't very good. You know, if you only speak English, you're probably going to want a sales rep that can speak good English as well to make sure there's clear communication there. Other people, maybe their MOQ is too high, or the factory is really backed up, or they're not willing to work with you on changing that color that you wanted and so forth. So from that, you know, my list would usually get narrowed down to like two or three suppliers. And then of those, a lot of times we'll go ahead and order a sample from, you know, like two or maybe three suppliers to just kind of compare.
Yep. And then that's usually, I guess I'm wondering how long you think this process would take. Maybe, of course, the more you do it, the faster, but I guess searching, how much time do you think somebody should budget in this process? A couple of weeks, I guess.
Yeah, a couple of weeks is probably fair. If you're not in like Asia, it's really beneficial for you to either like wake up early in the mornings or stay up late at night and talk to some of these suppliers like on Skype or WhatsApp, because that way you can get some of these like fine details kind of ironed out. If you're communicating through email and you're only, you know, responding during the day, and then they respond to you back during their day, you know, it's like 24 hours to get every, you know, like respond to each email.
Right.
So that could really slow it down. But yeah, I'd say budget a few weeks for it. You know, even if the sample's already made, they can usually ship it out within a day or two. And then it takes like 3 or 4 days to get, I'll assume you're in the States, or probably even to like Europe too. It'll take a few days to get there. If they don't already have a sample made, then it may take a little longer, you know, like a few weeks for them to make a sample. And that's just something it's just on a factory by factory basis.
Yep. Yep. No, it's definitely good expectations. And so, you know, like we're in this trade show season now. So some of them might, I think some of the good people, the good buyers, good sellers, you know, or purchasers would go to meet some of these suppliers. It's like night and day. I remember when I was just up late at night on Skype with suppliers before I moved over here. I was like so refreshed to be able to meet them face to face, shake hands. And, you know, it's really, really worth, I think, a trip if they're serious about their Amazon selling or e-commerce or import export business. So they're on the floor. Maybe they've been doing some samples, maybe they're doing some orders already, but maybe they can start optimizing their suppliers. So, you know, I really appreciate not being a pure ad, you know, at all. You're like the opposite. You're not even bringing up your product. But I remember Peter was, as African as Global Sources, was saying, you know, you can go out on the floor in the trade show at, you know, say Global Sources and pop up a Jungle Scout. Maybe you can just give some people an idea of how they could actually kind of enhance their trade show experience.
Yeah, sure. So Jungle Scout gives some key pieces of information for products on Amazon. And one of the really clutch pieces of information it gives is the estimated sales on a monthly basis. So right away, you can get an idea of how well a product sells. So yeah, if you're on the floor, you can like have a tablet with Jungle Scout open. You can plug in product ideas in there, get some idea of what kind of volume and, you know, how competitive it is. So that helps. And I totally agree with you about, if you're pretty serious about import, export, selling on Amazon, whatever. I remember the first time, just like you, the first time I went to China and actually met some of these factories, it was like a light switch turned on, you know, before.
Exactly.
It seems kind of silly, but like if you're just like sitting back at home halfway around the world from these people, like sometimes you almost forget that they're like other humans, you know, if you're like only communicating through email. And then actually like you go there and you talk to them and you hear about their kids and so forth. And like you see the factories, it's okay. Like I actually understand how my product's being produced now. And I understand why, you know, you can't ship it to me in 3 days instead of a month and so forth, which, you know, some of these things seem kind of ridiculous. But I remember back when I started, I had a lot of false assumptions. So I guess if you're listening to this and you're trying to decide whether you should go to, you know, some of these events, I would highly recommend it as soon as you get an opportunity to do so.
Yep. And they're twice a year, spring and fall. So unfortunately, if they're missed this year, this spring, but fall comes up pretty quick anyway. And some people like the fall weather. Well, it's still hot in the south of China. You know, most of these fairs are in, you know, in the Guangdong region or Hong Kong. So it's going to be hot either time. And, you know, I don't know. It depends, I guess. I had to extend my stay. I was here for like 5 weeks, my first trip. It was like amazing, you know, seeing the shows and then going to the factories and just really, really getting your hands dirty and not having to be up all night talking on Skype. And it's pretty, yeah, definitely amazing and worth it for even new people to get an idea. So great. So they're walking the floor and then actually, I don't know. I don't want a surprise question, but I know people always have trick, you know, it's always tricky changing suppliers. You know, I guess it's definitely possible. I don't know if you've had that experience or not. Is there any tips for like how to, I guess, just stop ordering from them? But, you know, if you've been ordering for a while, I don't know if you can't answer, it's fine. I mean, just kind of popped in my mind is,
yeah,
say you're sure on the floor.
Yeah. That's only happened to me like one time because, if the factory is doing well, you know, it's good quality, they're offering you a price that, you know, still leaves plenty of margin for you. They're good at communicating and so forth. That's a factory you're really going to want to hold on to. Like, I would not recommend jumping ship to a different factory to save like 10 cents per item because, you know, like that other fact, especially if you have like a long-term relationship with your first factory, because that's kind of difficult to do. Or I shouldn't say difficult to do, but you know, you've put a lot of time into it and so forth. The only time that I have switched factories is there was just kind of like constantly problems. Like at first it was like QA problems, then, you know, they wouldn't respond to me in like 5 days and be like, oh, sorry, we were out of town for this time and all that kind of stuff. so the I think some people get too hung up on price. And in my opinion, the fact of the matter is, like, it's not a terrible thing for your factory to be making a little bit of profit on your items, right? You know, like, I tried to get a fair price, but I don't just like hound them like crazy about a few more pennies off, a few more pennies off, because, you know, like, if there is no profit for them on your items, you're always going to get like pushed to the end of the queue. You know, they might try to like sneak in like lower quality materials and so forth. So, I mean, if you're still making good money, if you're getting like 100% ROI, you know, through sales on Amazon, the way I look at it is like, you know, there's no problem with them making a little bit of money off it too. So I don't get too caught up on the price, but if I was having quality control or communication issues, that's when I'd be starting to look for a different factory.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And hopefully usually you can figure that out earlier than later, but yeah, I agree on price. Like, I used to haggle a little bit too much, and they sometimes a joke. They're like, I can make this a lot cheaper if I just, you know, change the materials or, you know, change different stuff inside. So you got to be a little bit definitely careful. And yeah, like, that's the right mindset. Just let, they got to make money too. You know, they got their, you know, especially if you visit them, meet them and, you know, understand them to, you know, they're people and they do, need to make a living.
Right.
So great. This has been amazing. Greg, maybe a little bit about Juggle Scout. I'm kind of curious your story. If we got time,
a
little bit of history.
I'll give you a quick rundown of my story. So I used to be a civil engineer. I went to school to be an engineer. I worked that for a few years. I just wasn't very happy. So selling on Amazon was kind of my way out of that. So I was able to replace my income back when I was still working a 9-to-5 corporate job with selling on Amazon. At that point, I quit my job, focused solely on, you know, selling products on Amazon. Did that for a few years. My biggest bottleneck in growing and scaling my business was the product research phase. So, you know, I had a really good system down. I knew that it was a good opportunity. These products were making me a lot of money and so forth. I just needed help finding more products. So that's when Juggle Scout was born. And so we created Juggle Scout about a year and a half ago. It's a product research software specifically for Amazon sellers. So it gives you all the key data and metrics that you need to know or learn about to find good opportunities on Amazon. And then, yeah, today I focus probably like 80% of my efforts on the software side of the business. And then the rest is still growing my own Amazon business as well. And yeah, on a personal level, I'm also like a digital nomad. So, you know, I've been traveling around working. So that's been pretty cool. I'm in Barcelona right now, enjoying it. Awesome. So, going well.
That's great, man. That's great. Yeah. I mean, it's always awesome to hear this stuff. And Amazon, I was a little bit, you know, I was an eBay power seller.
Nice.
2004. And I got out of my job 2007.
Nice.
And I mean, but it's just liberating, right? Like, I don't know how much longer, I guess there's always going to be this corporate job. I don't know. It's going to take a while for this
right.
to really rebuild. But I guess when drones are shipping products and everything else, they'll have to be more people like us. But and hopefully our listeners, more people can get success from this show and your tool. So it's junglescout.com. And how else can people read about you and your business? Or?
Yeah, so I'm pretty active on the blog. I'm posting there usually at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. I try to keep some, you know, really high-end, valuable content. So I'd recommend checking out the blog. If you have any questions, you probably just leave them in the comments on there. I'm good about responding to all the comments on the blog. And if you're interested in trying it out, you can, you know, head on to junglescout.com, learn more about it and so forth there. Or if you're interested in launching an Amazon product, we put together a really cool case study that, again, is on our website where we publicly did the product research and sourced and launched a product. They're bamboo marshmallow sticks and they're on a sale on Amazon right now. It's pretty cool. They're actually doing really well and we're donating all the money to charity. So it's a pretty cool case study. Cool. So feel free to read all about it.
Yeah, I'll link that one too. Yeah, you awesome. Guys do have great blogs. So yeah, enjoy Barcelona and I'll let you get going.
Excellent. Thanks again for having me on, Michael. I've enjoyed it. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Greg, for coming out and sharing. And I hope to see you in Barcelona. I'm going to be there in the end of June for the DCBCN event. That's the Dynamite Circle Europe Conference. I'll be there for about a week, get a little bit of time away from Asia for a little bit. And I'm still getting amazing feedback from people about the cross-border summit, both people that went as well as people that missed it. Seems like people are still reading news, seeing pictures, hearing from friends, and I've never gotten such emails of people like begging me to keep them alerted for future events like it. So it's really amazing. And the best way is going to globalfromasia.com/subscribe. We have a weekly newsletter and we talk about events as well as news in the industry of Asia business, Hong Kong and China business. And of course, what's happening on a blog and a podcast. So if you want to get on over there, it's totally free. And it's globalfromasia.com/subscribe. Or if you're Chinese and don't use email and only use WeChat, or maybe you're like the many Westerners that have become Chinese and don't check email, we do have WeChat. You can skip email and add me, my last name, or globalfromasia.com/WeChat. That's all for this week. See you next Tuesday, and all the success to your global business. Peace.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.